look at this award-winning producer right here.
Wow.
Sick with it. How are you doing?
I'm good, brother.
Long time.
Yes and no.
Yeah, I mean, we see each other from time to time. We talk a lot, but I tell this guy every time he hits me up, I had he went MIA from social media, like, I don't know.
Oh, you noticed?
For like a month or whatever, yeah. I did notice, because I usually read everything he posts and stuff, and he just went MIA, and I didn't know what happened to him. And I didn't think about it, though, until weeks later. Like, I sat there, and I was like, I hadn't seen any posts from him forever. And I was like, I hope he's okay, and I looked through his, you know, Facebook and all that stuff, no posts. And so, literally that day, I was going to text him and see if he was all right, and make sure he's still alive and stuff. Then that day, he comes back on social media. It's like, hey, I'm here. I just took a little break or whatever. And I'm like, I literally was like 5 minutes before was about to text you. I just went to the bathroom real quick and he already came back. But it's like every time I think about him, he shows up. So
it's that energy, bro.
Right. He's the Dr. Dre to my Eminem.
Hey, there you go.
That's right.
Had to take a little break, man.
Yeah.
Got to take a hiatus. As much as I'm on social media, it can get a little...
Yeah, because
overkill.
This guy, if you ever want to know about like marketing and just how to do things, you got to watch this guy because he knows how to do everything and he does it so well as far as marketing and music. And I mean, you're just the whole package as far as business goes.
Appreciate that. But I'm not going to lie. I feel really cool with this headset on that I've got.
I feel like Britney Spears, right?
That or a helicopter, you know?
Yeah.
I
mean?
Like, yeah,
talking about the traffic.
I'm so used to like grabbing the mic and adjusting it.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of chill right now.
Yeah, like we try to. Well, we had a hard time of getting people to talk into the mic. So we're like, hey, we're going to get this little headset so people don't have to, you know, they can do whatever they want. So
like
plus,
it.
You look like a LBJ traffic reporter guy.
It'd be better if it was Bluetooth. You wouldn't have that wire hanging all over the place.
See, we gotta step this our game up, man.
I know.
We need to step.
He's already figured out. He's already figured out how to the Marvel's universe is gonna end.
On it.
He's already figured out what we need here in the studio. I mean, this guy,
the future of Marvel.
I'm about to move us to another building.
Yeah. this is like what's his name? That guy that made Tesla. We have him right here.
There you go,
Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Jaime Musky is what we're calling him. That's mostly just because of the smell.
Yeah,
that's
right. Sound like, good.
Turtle Musk.
Turtle Musk. All right. So DOMA is the Dallas Observer Music Awards. Is that what
it
is?
Wow. Yeah, you struggled with that.
Yeah, I was thinking something else, but that's I got it right. So you won in 2018. You won three times though, right? Total?
Yeah, I just won this past one. That was the third time I won for Best Producer.
And just because, so if people don't know who you are a music producer. You produce mostly hip hop right now. You just, your big artist was Bobby Sessions, who you produced his album that came out last year, summer?
Last summer. It came out last summer. Yep.
And it's a great album if you haven't seen it. It's the title of it escapes me right now. It's
Can you get it?
I'm so far off. I'm so far off. I have no clue.
No, it's called
Bobby Sessions Live. I don't know.
It's called Revolution.
Revolution.
The Divided States of America.
Never would have got that. But you produced everything on that album. He just got signed to Def Jam, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that was a big thing for you. And your music, it's so unique. Like, there's not a lot of things out there that sound like what you do. You take inspiration from a lot of stuff. You come from a musical background. And it's so amazing what you do. If you go to his website, sosick.com.
I'm so sick.com.
And listen to the stuff he's got. It's something, a lot of stuff you've never heard before. And it's amazing how your mind works because you have all these little things going on in your music. And I'm like, how did he think of that? Like for me, there's so much chaos going into my head all the time. Nothing, it all comes out like clown music, but you have this very.
I can see that.
Yeah. You have very, like, you have like this very mechanical way of putting things together that makes it just sound amazing. And so my favorite producer of all time is right here in this room.
Appreciate it. I have fun with it.
You just produced a track for another up-and-coming, pretty big artist here, Snow.
Snow the Product.
Yeah from California.
Yeah, she's a lot of, we claim her here in Dallas because she lived here for a while.
Oh, she did? Okay.
Yeah, and early in her career, she was in and out of Dallas a whole lot.
Oh, cool.
So, a lot of people think she's from Dallas, but she's actually from California.
So cool.
She was here, she went back, and she's been doing her thing.
And how does that work? So how does she find you? Does she just listen to something? Do you send tracks to the record company? How does that work?
No, so I met her. You know, I did a competition, a big competition a couple years ago, 2014. And me winning was them getting me in the studio with an Atlantic recording artist, and it was Snow.
Oh, that's cool.
And I've been building with her ever since then. We've kind of had a relationship where it's been very spread out.
Yeah.
You know, I won't hear from her for 6 or 7 months, and then I'll get a random inbox and be like, hey, Sick, send me some beats. I'm working on stuff, and that's how we've, I think we've had something come out just about every year since then. And same thing now, like we've communicated a lot through Instagram, through text. It's just one of those things. And so she comes into town, like she was on Queen of the South. She's on the Queen of the South show.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah. So they filmed that here in Dallas. So she comes down here, and when she comes down, she'll be here for like a month at a time. And she's like, hey, I'm going to have some downtime and we're off. Can we get in the studio and we'll lock in and work on stuff?
She's single? Times.
She's not. She did, she has a girlfriend now.
Oh.
So she's.
That's unfortunate for me.
Yeah, about another. Yeah. I think they've been together for a little while, but at least over a year for sure.
Yeah. I was trying to up my street cred. I thought it might be good for me.
I mean, I could put in a good word, but, you know, after that, it's on you.
I have a body of a woman. And I got a brand new leg.
That leg might come in handy.
Yeah, exactly. So when you get an artist that wants to work with you, like Bobby Sessions, let's say, and he comes to you guys, sit down, and you have a meeting about what his album, the idea for the album and that kind of thing. Do you, obviously you have your style and how you would take something as an artist, right? Do you kind of customize what you would do to their vision to kind of make a unique sound for that artist?
Yes. I think a lot of producers, they're so like, they're so... I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but they're so committed to their own sound.
Right. You come to me, this is what you get.
It's hard for them to deviate from that. And that's why I feel like a good producer will really take into consideration, like what you said, who the artist is, what their message is, what they're all about, and trying to complement that versus them trying to compliment you. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you got to look at it like producers are always the background guys, you know what I mean? Like, there are some producers that make that cut through, and they'll be the forefront. But we kind of set the canvas. We're like the canvas, basically, for the producer to, I mean, for the artist to come and do their thing. So when we show up, like when I come into a situation with an artist like that, I'm really, there's times where I'll sit there and I'll talk to them for hours, not make any music, because I'm really trying to understand their thinking, their process, and it changes from day to day. Artists are so emotional, and that's not a bad thing. It's, they literally will feel turn up on one day and then sad and depressed the next, and so you got to be able to identify that and work music in accordingly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like my process when I work personally with an artist, because I feel... if I can connect with them on that level, it allows them the freedom and the liberty to, and the comfortability to say, like, I'm going to be as creative as I want. Obviously, there's, you know, no judgment.
Yeah.
No holding me back. And so it allows them to be real creative. And I like that process better than me going and trying to force my sound onto somebody.
Well, and from like an artist standpoint, I think it would be like from a creative standpoint, really. You have to push yourself, right? You can't just stay within your comfort zone.
Right.
You can't just, well, I do this. This is how I would normally do it. You're going to have to expand as an artist, really, for that kind of thing, which is cool. It's like going to a chef and saying, hey, I can't make me a cake, but I can't have this ingredient. I'm gluten-free, blah, blah, blah. And you got to make something custom for them versus like, hey, this is a prepackaged deal. This is what you get, which I think is cool.
Yeah, and I think the only requirement I really have is that they allow me the freedom to be open and honest, to critique them, and give them advice to help better their process. If they let me do that, I'm all on board.
Do you like being in the background, or do you think that, I mean, I know you said producers are in the background, but do you think at some point, hey, I've done this, I've been here, I've won these awards, I need to be in the forefront? You ever think like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think most producers don't think like that. I do.
Yeah.
And there are a few that do as well. And but I do it more for, like, I'm an advocate for producers. It comes to like a situation where I feel like there's a producer right now in his bedroom making all these beats. There's a producer right now in his bedroom making sound packs.
And
all these things are starting to get placements with big artists, but nobody really knows who they are. And sometimes they don't even have the knowledge of the business to at least get the credit and the proper payment. And so for those guys, I come up to the forefront. I'm like, look, we do exist. We do deserve our credit. We do deserve payment. And we do put in the hard work. You know what I mean? Like, I always look at it like this. Yes, the artist always gets the spotlight, but we contribute, if not equally, sometimes more, just depending on the situation. But yeah, I think that producers should get more recognition. Whether they have a spotlight, I think at least give us a moment to say, we recognize you guys, you know what I mean? And make it a deal to where they can literally talk about us, uplift us, and show what we contribute versus, because it's not like back in the day where you can go read the CD
right.
and
yeah. you open the jacket.
Credits. And,
right.
I mean, yeah. Spotify, if the artist does it right or Tidal, they can put the listing in there produced by.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always happen. You know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like the industry changes enough now or is changing enough to where producers are becoming kind of the superstars?
Yes.
You think of like Scott Storch and, mm-hmm. and you know, Dr. Dre and all these people. I feel like it is kind of shifting. Like the producer's almost as big as the artist now.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because I mean, if you look at music now, it's really not about music. It's about branding and marketing.
Yeah, so
if you
true.
Can brand
wow.
and market yourself, you don't even have to be great at what you do. You just have to have people buy into what you do.
Right. Like look at all the music
you.
That we have right now. It's
yeah.
Most of it's trash.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you and I had this conversation once. I always talk about how kind of music, you look at like the SoundCloud artists and the beats today are very just kind of thrown together. It feels mm-hmm. like for me anyway, that somebody can just go on Fruity Loops or whatever. And I was trying to think of like, how did this all start? We went from, you know, using like real instruments for beats
right.
and all this stuff and real musicians to just a
you
guy in
his
garage.
You were telling me one time, right?
Yeah, this is my theory, and I don't know if this is true or not, but let's say 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when Fruity Loops started, I don't know how long ago it's been, but and it became more accessible for people to get, you started making little beats. Oh, I can do this. You start making your little beats, and then you know, artists would come in and start rapping over it, or you would sell your beats. Everyone's a beat maker now because the software was so easy to get. You didn't need this Casio keyboard or whatever, you know, the Triton.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what it was. Everybody was talking about the Triton and the 808s, and you didn't need any of that anymore. Motifs. All you needed was Fruity Loops, and you get the demo package, you get a crack online on LimeWire, you download it. Not saying I ever did this, I'm just saying. This
allegedly.
This is what I saw in a 2020 documentary.
Yeah.
And then they just started doing that, and that became the norm. So everything that you heard, like a lot of producers got found that way just because mm-hmm. they were a Fruity Loops artist. Lex Luger got found that way, you know, but I think he's very talented. But I think that kind of that trend, it's like making a copy of a copy of a copy. Like these guys were copying this beat, this, you know,
right.
everybody. And once you make a copy of a key enough times, it gets dull. And I think that's kind of where we're at today. And I think when producers like yourself, who's a true musician and artist, come out, you kind of stand out from the crowd because you're not just having like a synth and a drum kit. You really put effort into your music and spend a lot of time on it. And I think that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But I still love my fellow producer community.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if you're doing it and you're making money and it takes you 2 seconds to make a beat and you sell that thing for $50,000, well, congratulations. I mean, you're living your dream.
And that's where it's getting to, man. I'll be honest with you. Like, everything's so fast-paced and so...
You kind of have to keep up with demand now, right?
Microwave. I don't want to, you know, put a damper on it.
Right,
on
right,
it,
right.
But it's so fast, man. Mm-hmm. You can turn around and make beats like literally so quickly, and the process is even easier now versus like Fruity Loops you were talking about.
Yeah.
They have like sites like Splice now. You can go on Splice and you can everything on there is royalty free. You can literally type in the key. You can type in what type of vibe you're looking for. And you can grab a sample, and then you can go find drums, and you can layer those two, and boom, you're done.
Thank you. What was that website again?
Splice.com.
Yeah. Check out my new album coming out.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, and again, we were talking about this during the break. Like, we're kind of the old heads now, like in the hip-hop, you know. Like, we grew up with a lot of the guys that are old now and retiring or whatever. And so I think we kind of hold rap to a higher standard. We both love it. Everybody in this room, I think, loves rap and hip hop, but we hold it to a higher standard than what I think a lot of the young people these days do. And so when you see this, you're kind of like, I wish there was somebody that stood out from the crowd. I wish there was more Bobby Sessions that had mm-hmm. something to say versus just how much money they made or how much drugs they took today. You know?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, artists with a message, it's harder to. It seems like they're harder to find these days.
And I don't think there's any less of them. I think there's just more.
Yeah, you have to
noise.
You have to know where to look.
To get to the good stuff.
Right,
yeah,
you got to wade
sense.
Through some stuff.
Yeah.
You not only do you produce music, you also produce your own sounds. Like you had beat packs and stuff. Do you still sell those?
I do still sell them. I haven't made any new ones like in over a year, but I still have them. They still sell from time to time.
We're going to make a new MZ Now phone number jingle, and I'm going to use his sound packs
for it.
I just called the number yesterday or the day before just to see if it was still working.
The which one? The MZ Now one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's up.
What number is that, by the way?
It's 1-888. I'm just anyway. So
MZ Now what?
What? Oh, wow.
It's MZ Live 5. You obviously haven't listened to it.
No, that's a little song he made.
I'm gonna make a mumble rap one so you can understand it. Okay, so let's talk about your partnership with AirBit.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Talking about how beats are more accessible now and that kind of thing. This is a way of doing it for the up and coming artists, but without, if you don't have a producer, or you know, you just have the lyrics and you need to put them to something, this is probably the place to go, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, so AirBit's basically a platform for producers to be able to license their beats. Like I said, there are tons of at home in their bedroom type producers,
yeah,
that don't have outlets, they don't have resources, they don't have the network to be able to get that music out. And this is a perfect way to do this. You can still stay in the comfort of your home, upload your beats, market yourself on the internet, and people can go to your site and thumb through all of your catalog and purchase beats that they would want, you know, to use. And it's perfect for artists like on a budget that are up and coming. But there's been tons of producers that have already got major, major placements. Like for instance, the Eminem diss.
Yeah.
That was from an online.
The Machine Gun Kelly one? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mean Machine Gun Kelly went out and bought a beat off of wow.
And also like the, what is his name? Man, a slipping designer.
Oh, yeah,
Panda.
Yeah.
Panda was one of the, was another beat bought online.
Panda was a beat bought online?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so there are tons of, I feel like something just came out really recent. Oh, Can't Nobody Tell Me Nothing.
That's a terrible song, but that just,
that beat was online and they purchased. Yeah,
yeah,
they purchased
that beat really? That's so cool. So you're telling me I could be an artist for...
Definitely. Go pay 10, 20, 30 bucks for a license.
Spider and I are going to start a production company, Seven-Legged Spider.
All right. Nice.
And that's what we're going to do, and we're going to start our own deal. But that's so cool, though, because it really does help the producer. You're right. There's a lot of people out there, even if they're a bedroom producer, right, like you said, it doesn't mean they're not any talented. They may be a true musician, but just not have the funds, the resources at the time to put out their music, and now they do.
Yeah, and the biggest thing for us is we encourage like ownership and entrepreneurship, because this is a really legit way for producers. I mean, we've already helped make over $28 million for producers combined.
That's
right?
So cool. Yeah,
but this is a legit way for you to be self-employed.
Yeah,
really treat your art like a business.
Yeah,
and fund what you do. You know what I mean? Fund your living. I mean, there's guys that are easily making over six figures, easily,
just by doing beats from the house.
That's it.
Isn't that crazy? If I had this in high school, I wouldn't be doing this.
Man, if I would have known about this when it started, that would have been great.
How long have they been around?
But they've been around for about 9 to 10 years, I think.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so crazy.
Yeah, so.
There's so many cool things out there that I wish I had when I did my two songs.
So you don't let those songs go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gumby, what was it?
Walk Like Gumby. Yeah. I think that was the most recent one. I did pull my numbers the other day. I think like last year we had like a million plays or something like that. Nice. Something crazy. I don't know. I don't know who's playing it, but I'm famous somewhere.
Over and over in your house.
My grandmother. I had the Alexa set up to where it just plays.
Over and over.
Yeah. Gives me about $12 a month, so I appreciate that.
There you go.
But so that's really cool. All right, so you've got Snow the Product, her song, which was...
Bilingual.
I'm saying it wrong. I would say bilingual.
Well, it's bilingual in English.
Okay.
It's in Spanish. It's bilingual.
And she raps in English and Spanish.
Correct.
So and it's a really great song. I encourage you to listen to it. It's on Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff. You've got, you just won an award last year. You're probably going to win one this year. Let's be honest.
Whatever.
and then AirBit, you're an ambassador for them.
Yeah.
What else do you do?
Man, you know what? That's been taking up a lot of my time, and because I do a lot of, I've been doing a lot of content creation too, for not only for AirBit but for my own self.
Yeah.
And so my big goal for this year was to really just get out there, connect a little more personably with the producer community, because they seem to be, they're a bigger fan base right now to me than actual artists are.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to be a little more visible and a little more direct versus just being limited to Instagram or social media.
Yeah.
And kind of dig deep, because you know I have followers that are not producers, and a lot of times they have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I wanted to start providing way more content that gives a little more in-depth insight on how to kind of navigate your career for up and coming producers. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of video content, just kind of, some's already been put out, some's we're gearing up to do some more releases and stuff like that. So
that's so cool. Yeah. Well, I follow everything that you do because, like I said, I'm a huge fan of what you do and your style and everything. Spider, do you have any questions for him? I know Spider's a big music fan.
I think we covered a lot of stuff there.
Eric?
No, I don't. Just congratulations on everything.
Appreciate it.
I know Eric talks about you all the time. He loves your music, too.
Yeah.
First off, when we were hanging out that one day till like 4 in the morning, we had such a great time. I'm like, we should do this every week.
That was fun.
And I haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
I know. We did kind of. Bro, that is true, man. You know, we ended up going to IHOP.
Yeah.
It was me, him, and my roommate at the time.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of, I don't know how we went down the rabbit hole of like conspiracy theories. Oh, was and,
yeah. So we had like a day. That
what
we
is
made
it? Was it Conspiracy Theory Tuesdays?
Yeah,
or
it was like
Conspiracy
Tuesdays. I said we're gonna do this every week, and to give him credit though, because I'm more of like a homebody. Like once I'm home, if I don't have a reason to go, I don't go out. So he calls me up, I think the very next week or 2 weeks later, he's like, hey man, it's Tuesday. Yeah. What are we going to do? I'm like, oh, hey. And I'll get my shoes on. Like, yeah. Oh, you want to go do you want to do this now? He's like, no, I'm actually not even in town. I'm in Oklahoma, but I'm coming back. But I just want to see how you do it. And but I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I'm ready to go. Because we had such a great time. Because he and I had the same, as far as like shows that we like to watch and things like the same, him and his roommate too. All the same ideas and love the same stuff. So it was fun to like talk about it. What shows are you watching right now? What is sick with it watching on TV when you do watch TV?
Man, you know, like I was saying earlier, I've become like my schedule's gotten a lot more busy. So I watched a lot of Netflix to fall asleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really picked up any new shows. I did watch the one we talked about earlier.
Love, Death, Robots.
Oh, that one was so great.
The animation on that is so incredible.
Man. I loved it. I want to go rewatch it, but I find myself watching tons of reruns, bro.
Like what?
Oh, right now, as Office for like the eighth time. Yeah. God, I love. I'm so glad they keep that on Netflix. Yeah.
You were giving me a hard time about me watching MASH.
Bro,
you think MASH is the worst show ever?
So check this. Earlier today, I was at lunch with some friends celebrating Cinco de Mayo, right?
Oh yeah.
And so
forgot that's today.
They had a TV on, Mexican. And they were playing. They were showing golf.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten older, I've just found this love for golf. I hated it growing up.
Do you play it?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So I was watching it, and I was like, man, it's so crazy. I remember growing up, and I couldn't fathom the idea of sitting in front of a TV for hours to watch golf.
Yeah.
It was just, like, so boring to me. Now I could do that.
Yeah, it's a way of unwinding and relaxing. Yeah.
And my buddy's wife was like, yeah, that and MASH. And I was like, yeah, I can't stand MASH. She's like, I never understood it growing up. I was like, yo, I've tried to watch MASH and I don't get it. It's not funny to me.
Yeah.
It's like older people love that show.
Right.
And I just cannot get into it ever.
Yeah. Oh, I'm watching that. I'm watching. Well, I'm done with that actually now. I'm watching Friends because I've never seen Friends.
What?
You're just not. Bro, so that's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah. I still don't know who's who. Like, I don't know who Chandler is.
What season are you on?
Season 1, episode 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you just started.
But I started watching like 4 months ago. I just haven't finished it. I haven't continued.
One episode per month?
I've been watching. I just saw the latest season of How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, that's
funny. Oh, I heard that's
Man,
good.
I love that show. That's a good show. And I feel like there was one more show that I recently just got put onto that
Home
I watched.
Improvement.
Man, get out of here.
I love Home Improvement. I've been watching
that. It's a good
show.
I like Home Improvement. Yeah. I haven't watched it in a while, but it's definitely a good show.
No, but we need to definitely do that, though. We need to have Conspiracy Theory quarterly or something, and we meet
crazy.
Up once every 3 months.
We were, man, I'll tell you what, for your listeners that are tuned in, I don't know if they've realized this, but you have like the most amazing stories.
And they're all true. Yeah.
Remember that? I think that was the time we decided that Mark Cuban looks over the city like Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Staying on top of Reunion Tower or something. Just looking over the city like Batman.
Have you ever told your story of meeting Mark Cuban on air?
Years ago, yeah.
Oh, my God. That is like the funniest.
We We replay it from time to time, but
it was so good.
It was me and Wes Davis and Chrissy Henderson and it just made a fool of ourselves. But we'll replay it though, sometime this month, I'm sure.
I get a kick out of it.
All right, we don't want to keep you too long. You got 100 things you got to do. You got to go home and watch Love, Death, Robots.
More like go home and work.
Yeah.
But,
do you find? Let me ask you this, because a lot of people are self-employed now, and it's easier for a lot of people to do that. Do you force yourself to take breaks, or do you just continue? You know, like, when do you stop? Because you could literally work 24 hours a day.
Right.
How do you stop?
I do stop from time to time. Usually it's after when I've had a very intense work week. I'm like, all right, I'm exhausted.
You take a day?
Like 2 days.
2 days.
And I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm literally going to lay in bed, watch Netflix, maybe go out.
Yeah.
I have to. And I, like I said earlier, it's the same thing with social media. Like, you're so mentally invested mm-hmm. in these things, and that's all that you think about all the time. And I literally have to just, and sometimes I'll go to like my sister's house out in the country for a while and
that's
kind of
cool.
hang out.
Yeah.
Because it gets exhausting. Like, you're so driven. Like, I know I'm very driven and I'm really trying to accomplish some things. And sometimes that grind is very relentless and can get very exhausting, and you don't even realize it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of sneaks up on you. So I've dealt with some anxiety issues recently in the past that were kind of a new thing for me. And so I take that very serious now, because I've never dealt with that in my life, but I did have a stint of that. Not recent, but, you know,
over the
last year and a half. And I just don't want to get to that place anymore. It was a very scary place. You know what I'm saying? Because I've never experienced stuff like that. And it's something that literally just crept up on me. So I make it a point, man. It's like, take a break, man.
So for producers and artists that are self-employed or working on your art, it's great. Put in 110%, but at least take a break.
You have to.
And it's difficult for me, especially, and I was telling somebody this the other day, because, you know, I broke my leg on a scooter. Tragic accident. Near fatal. And
is that what we're doing?
That's how
fatal, I was able to ask the guy for water.
Yeah, I was able to pull myself out of the street, actually, too, and make jokes in the ER. When you're on your back for 4 months, you come out of that with a renewed sense of energy. Like, hey, you know, because I found myself in a cycle of doing the same things over and over and over again.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, after I got back on my feet again and I was able to do stuff again, I'm like, I want to do this 110%. And I found myself, like the other day, I got home and I worked till 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to at least cut stuff off. There's got to be some time limits to cutting things off, because otherwise you're just going to burn out again. Yeah. I want to be able to take this new energy for years down the road. I don't want it to burn out on me.
Yeah, no. So, I think it's so good. I went and played some golf the other day just to get my mind off some things.
When do you do that?
I did that last Friday, actually.
Invite me next time. I'm a terrible golfer, but
I'm not good either.
Yeah.
I say I play, but I won't go into detail of what that looks like.
I go to the range, and I buy just like 5 balls. I can sit there for an hour because I can't hit them.
You still staying in the same place?
Yeah.
You go to the one there?
In Red Oak?
Yeah. I used to go there all the time.
I do, too. I just go get a little bucket of balls. And
are they still open?
I don't know. I haven't been there in a while, but
I feel like either them or Lancaster closed their golf course.
Did they?
I think it might have been Lancaster now.
Well, hopefully, because this place is like right down the street from my house.
Super.
I just
it's right
off the highway. It's like $5. You just pay it and go there and take all my anger out on the ground.
Do you have your own clubs?
Funny story.
I told you.
I do have clubs, but they're not mine, and the owner has never asked for them back. So I just kind of borrow them.
So you've never offered to give them back?
Yeah. So I took them home because they said here. It was an older lady. She said, here, these are my son's clubs. You can use these when you want. And she goes, if you like them, you can buy them. So I think at one point I said, well, I don't really, I'm not good at this. You know, you can have them back. So just bring them, you know, next week or something, next time I see you. And I never saw her again. And she never asked for them back. So I still have them. It's been years now. So I think the law is on my side at this point.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
All right. Let's plug your social media. Where can people find you? And then we're going to roll out.
Yeah. I'll plug the song first. Y'all be sure to go check out Bilingue by Snow the Product, produced by me.
And in English, that's bilingual, just FYI.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's on all social media platforms. It just hit number 6 on the Latino iTunes. It's doing really well. We're getting played all over the place, radio stations all over the U.S., and Snow's on tour right now performing it. So y'all go check it out. Help support the song. And y'all can find me at imsosick.com or any social media at I Am Sick With It on every platform.
Man, it's good to see you again.
Man, it's been fun.
Come by anytime. Don't let it be as long as it, last time you were here was like 3 years ago. We got to make it shorter than
that. I think it was.
Yeah. We got to make it shorter than that. You got to come back sooner. So good luck, man.
Thank you, man.